All right, deep diver, buckle up because we are diving deep into chapter 14 of Smoke and Mirrors, and this one is a doozy.
It is. It is.
So we've seen Mike's console dreams go up in smoke, the Kickstarter, the whole thing crashed and burned. But he's still clinging to this auction site, right? Game Gavel. And the magazine, which is barely, I mean, is it even afloat at this point?
Barely afloat. It's gasping for air at this point.
Here's the thing that I don't understand. Everyone wants a piece of it.
Well, it's more like they're vultures circling, right? They sense blood in the water,
Okay.
and they're waiting to pick at the
So
bones.
who are these vultures? Who are we talking about?
One of the most notable ones is Carl Williams, who's kind of a big name in the retro gaming world. And he sets his sights on Retro Magazine. And what's interesting is he doesn't do it quietly behind the scenes. He's very public about it. It's a very, we call that a hostile takeover.
Okay. And I guess that makes sense given what we know about Carl. But here's the thing, this magazine is on life support. Like, why even
Well,
bother?
because Carl, he sees the value in the brand itself. Retro. It's a good name. It's got history. It has a subscriber base, even if those subscribers haven't actually gotten a magazine in a while.
Yeah, those Kickstarter woes, which we'll get back to. But what about Mike? He's just gonna let this happen. Roll over.
No, not Mike.
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Mike digs in. He is determined to revive this magazine, whether it's pride, whether it's a sense of obligation to his subscribers, whether it's a last-ditch effort to salvage something from this wreckage. He's not letting go easily.
So we've got Mike backed into a corner, we've got Carl circling like a shark, and then you've got these subscribers who are like, understandably, I'm sure, a little skeptical.
Oh, absolutely.
So what's Mike's next move? Like, what do you even do at this point?
Well, it's less of a move and more of just a desperate scramble, I think, right? He's trying to, appease the subscribers, saying, we're going to deliver these issues. We're so sorry for the delay. Tries to put together this best of issue, which is essentially just repackaging old content.
Which sounds about as exciting as like a greatest hits album of elevator
Yeah,
music.
not going to exactly excite the
I
fans.
can't cut it.
No, not at all. And so every move that he makes is met with skepticism because no one trusts him anymore. And frankly, can you blame them? At this point, it almost doesn't matter if his intentions are genuine, the damage is done.
And so this is where I think it gets really fascinating because you've got, Mike's clinging on to whatever shred of credibility she might have left. But at the same time, there's this whole other thing happening where, and I don't know how else to put this, but somebody makes a video game mocking the entire situation.
They did, yeah.
Okay, please tell me. This game has like terrible graphics and even worse gameplay.
It's much more clever than that.
Okay.
So UK Mike, who's another figure in this whole retro gaming scene, releases this satirical text adventure game. And it's not just any game. It is specifically mocking Mike's attempts to build this fake prototype.
Hold on. So you're saying that somebody took Mike's real life meltdown and turned it into a playable video game? Okay, first of all, amazing. Second of all, how did they even, what are the
So
details?
the details are spot on. It's kind of amazing. It's like UK Mike crawled inside Mike's head and turned his anxieties into a game. Like one of the challenges in the game is to dodge these characters called Mr. Lee, Mr. Gogo, and Mr. Press.
Who are, that sounds like a bad 80s band.
They basically represent the threat of legal action, right? Like those lawyers that Mike was so desperate to avoid. The game even includes this line about the disastrous toy fair. Maybe one day somebody will write a book about you.
Oh,
Talk
foreshadowing.
about foreshadowing.
Yeah, just a little bit. Okay, so you've got this game, you've got everything else that's going on, and to make matters worse, his attempts to branch out to kind of like, do other things don't exactly go as planned.
No, not at all.
This is where we see the reverse Midas touch, I think.
The reverse Midas touch in action.
In action.
Everything he touches turns to, well, not gold.
Got goal.
So he tries selling other companies' consoles. He tries partnering with the peripheral manufacturer. He even dips his toes into the world of cheat code publishing. And each one is more disastrous than the last.
All right, let's dive into that. So Mike's empire is circling the drain, his reputation's shot, and then he tries to make a comeback. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, for one thing, he partners with a company called Emeo. to sell NES Classic controllers.
Oh, yeah. Those are huge.
Huge. You practically had to win the lottery to get one.
Yeah.
And, of course, the market for accessories, it was booming.
Right.
Especially third-party controllers. And so Mike's big play was this EMEO controller, which they claimed was compatible.
Let me guess.
Uh-oh.
They weren't.
Turns out there was a slight wiring difference between the Wii controllers that EMEO based their design on.
Okay.
And the actual NES Classic.
Uh-huh.
Not a deal breaker, but definitely a deal frustrator. Let's put it that way.
I bet.
Yeah.
So, but where does Mike fit into this whole thing?
He's the face of this deal, right?
Oh, no.
He's the one vouching for the controller. So even though it's ultimately EMEO's technical blunder,
right,
Mike's already shaky reputation takes another hit. It just goes to show how fragile trust can be, especially when you're dealing with someone who's, let's just say, dropped the ball a few times.
Yeah. Everyone's just kind of waiting for him to trip up again, right?
Exactly.
And speaking of tripping up, didn't this whole debacle lead to that infamous cheat code incident?
Yes, the cheat codes.
The cheat codes.
So to try and salvage the situation,
yeah,
EMEO decides to include a free NES Classic cheat code booklet.
Okay.
With every controller purchase.
Okay. So they're trying to make amends, I guess.
Yeah. Nice gesture, right?
Yeah.
And who do they tap to write this redemption booklet?
Oh, no.
None other than Mike Kennedy.
This does not sound good.
The self-proclaimed magazine mogul.
Oh, the irony.
Reduced to churning out a shoddy cheat code booklet.
So, not exactly the polished professional publication you might expect.
Not even close.
Okay, give me the details.
We're talking wrong button combos. We're talking misidentified games. The whole nine yards.
Oh, it's that bad, huh?
There's even a part where they used the wrong cover art for Tecmo Bowl.
No.
Put the Super Tecmo Bowl cover on it instead.
Oh.
Almost poetic.
Poetic, yeah. It's like the universe itself was just piling on at that point.
I know.
But, you know, this whole time we've got Coleco who's being dragged through the mud alongside him, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, they were already reeling from that whole chameleon disaster.
Exactly.
But instead of learning from Mike's mistakes,
right,
they seem determined to, like, follow in his footsteps.
Yeah, they really did.
Making one PR blunder after another.
One after another.
But I think their biggest misstep has got to be picking a fight with the homebrew community.
Yeah, for sure.
For those of us who aren't fluent in gamer speak, can you explain what the homebrew scene is and why this was such a bad move?
Sure. So the homebrew scene, these are basically passionate fans who create their own games for classic consoles.
Okay.
They're keeping the spirit of retro gaming alive.
So these are the people that you want on your side.
Exactly.
And they went after them.
They did. It was a baffling decision.
How do you even go after them?
They started issuing these DMCA takedown notices.
Okay.
Which are basically legal demands to remove content that supposedly infringes on copyright.
Right.
And in this case, they were going after a popular ColecoVision fan page that was showcasing these homebrew games.
Hold on. So they're shutting down a fan page that is essentially providing them free publicity and keeping their console relevant?
It's a classic case of a company being completely out of touch with its audience.
Yeah.
Instead of recognizing the value of this dedicated community, they saw them as a threat.
Right.
And just like Mike's attempts to control the narrative around Retro Magazine backfired.
Totally.
Coleco's adversarial approach to the homebrew community basically alienates their core audience.
It's like a recurring theme here, isn't it? Like trying to control the narrative in an age where the internet gives everybody a voice.
Yeah. And it never ends well, does it?
It never ends well.
No. Wow. But the hits just kept on coming.
Oh, no.
And speaking of hits, let's talk about the Coleco Expo.
The Coleco Expo, or should we say lack thereof. So the Coleco Expo, we've talked about Mike's, complete implosion and some of the baffling decisions made by Coleco. But this feels like the grand finale of bad choices.
Grand finale, or maybe just like rock bottom.
Yeah.
Imagine a ghost town. That's right. But instead of dusty saloons, it's a convention center.
Oh, okay.
Filled with empty booths.
Wow.
And the faint sound of crickets chirping.
You're not kidding. I've seen the pictures online.
It's rough.
It's rough. It's like legitimately hard to look at. Like, how did they not see this coming? They had to have known they were on thin ice after that whole homebrew thing.
You would think, right? I mean, it's a real head scratcher.
Yeah.
It's like this potent cocktail of hubris and a fundamental misunderstanding of their audience.
It's like they forgot who their audience even was.
Exactly. Like, these are the people who you want to bring in
right,
to make this thing a success.
And they just alienated them.
They did.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, showcasing all the cool stuff that was happening in the Gulkavision homebrew community.
Right. Which there was.
Oh, absolutely. There were some really talented people doing some really interesting things.
Yeah.
They could have had this amazing event.
Right.
Showcasing all this passion, all this creativity.
Totally.
Totally.
But they didn't.
It's like instead of building a bridge, they built a wall.
Exactly.
And then you've got, and this is the thing that kills me. We were talking about this earlier. But even the hardcore gamer review, which we've got here in our sources.
Right, right.
It feels like they were at a different event. They talk about booming businesses and new and old surprises. And I'm just like.
It's like they wandered into the wrong convention center.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, every other account is like tumbleweeds, you know, empty booths. And wait for it. A bathtub vendor.
The bathtub vendor.
The bathtub vendor.
You can't make this stuff up. You can't make it. It's like, it's the perfect encapsulation of the whole thing.
It really is.
So, Deep Diver, I mean, what's the takeaway here? If there's one lesson to be learned from this whole saga, from Mike's downfall to Coleco's self-destruction, it's that reputation is everything.
It's true.
It really
is. It's built on trust. It's built on consistency. And once it's gone, it is incredibly difficult to earn back.
It really is. And we saw that with Mike.
Absolutely.
But with Coleco, it's almost like it's not just about reputation. It's about understanding the landscape.
It's adapting.
To a changing world.
On recognizing that the people who are passionate about your product.
Your biggest fans.
Are your greatest asset.
100%.
And when you alienate those people.
You're in trouble.
You're in big trouble.
Big trouble. It makes you think about the long game, you know, building something sustainable versus chasing those short-term gains.
It's about building relationships.
And on that note, Deep Diver, we want to hear from you. What resonated with you the most in this chapter? What are your takeaways? Let us know, because until next time, happy diving.